Jesus, a thousand hallelujahs to you. What a mighty God we serve. What a beautiful Savior. What a gentle King. What a lowly, meek man, and yet fierce and strong, having all authority over every king, over every nation. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your people. Thank you that we're part of a people, part of the body. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And would you open it to us today? Speak to us, dear Jesus. Take a hold of our hearts and may we be changed. Thank you, your word, to do its work in us and the spirit of understanding to do its work in us. You would bring us, you'd make us complete, Lord. And thank you that you want our joy to be complete. May there be joy in hearts today. Lord God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. If you missed last week's message, you need to listen to that. John spoke on hindrances to prayer, but also in that, hindrances to healing. And just so full of really practical insights on why very often we are hindered, and very often it's something on the inside of us, not necessarily something on the outside of us. Anyways, you need to check that out. And today I'll be endeavoring to follow in the same vein of thought, but looking into the subject of forgiveness. Because John was mentioning this point of it's possible to have faith and unbelief at the same time. And so it got me thinking of, well, can you have forgiveness and unforgiveness at work at the same time? So anyways, we'll look into that. Just something quickly on missions. If you go on a mission trip, you also come back with really good stories. You get to see a new nation. You get to know how to pray for that nation. When I was in Kenya, we took a little thing of Vegemite with us to offer it to any willing person. And we're sitting at this table and we made a Vegemite sandwich for this lady and presented it to her. And she said, thank you. And she folded it up and put it in her handbag and she didn't even try it. So I don't know if she was saving it for later or if she just was in fear. But that was one thing that happened. I have to think of some other things that happened. Anyways, we move on. Saturdays for my family is the park day and the zoo day. So Rocky Locals, you know, we have a zoo within a park. It's not just the park, sorry. It's a botanic gardens that's 150 years old. And full of amazing banyan figs and bunya pines and like huge trees. So we go to the zoo and see the animals and we have chimps and we have meerkats. Saying this for the people who are listening who are not around here, they might want to visit. It's a plug for our town. And there's other exciting animals coming one day too, I won't say, but I know, heard some things. And then you have the dingo park, a big, massive, giant dingo. But we were there yesterday, and I'm just looking around, looking at these trees, like trees that are like the trunks are this wide and just go right up. Do you remember in the cyclone? I remember going for a drive after the second wave. You know how you had the first big wave and then the like little... Oh, it's really nice. You could go outside and then the second one come through. After the second one, I remember going for a drive and it's like, boom, boom. What was that? It was power lines. Like the place was a mess. But the huge trees that came down, it was amazing. And how good it is for those trees and everything to get a shake up. Just like us, we need to get a bit of a shake up sometimes. These big pines, these big bunya pines. And just if they could tell a story, been sitting there for however long. Have you heard of a sycamore fig? Some of you have? Yeah? There's a picture of one, quite big. Generally, this variety you're only going to find around Israel and Africa. There's another photo. There's the fruit. Looks like a fig. Doesn't taste like a fig. And look at this one. How big is that? These are people. Three people here. That's in Ethiopia. Huge. Anyways, have you seen some big trees? Big pines, big gums, bottle trees, palm trees. Most of you probably have a mango in the backyard, surely, in Rockhampton. We've got one, can't eat it. Although I've heard from Sri Lankan people, they're quite good if you stew them up green, but probably not going to try it. But people eat them. But my neighbours, that is the tasty one. And do you know, it's so unfair that when the owner sold the house, right before the new owner came in, he came and took all the mangoes. Ah, even the ones hanging over my fence. Aren't they mine? Sycamore fig. It brings us to our text. We're in Luke 17, verses 3 to 6. This is Jesus speaking. He starts by saying, pay attention to yourselves. So he's just talked about temptations. Temptations will come. Woe to the person through whom they come. And then he says, pay attention to yourselves. What a good way to start. It's easy sometimes to be consumed with everyone else's problems and not having a look at ourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him or correct him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and replanted in the sea, and it would obey you. Pay attention to yourselves. Anyways, if your brother repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day, and turns to you seven times in the day saying, I repent, you must forgive him. So you've turned up to church, you're relaxing, about to get a coffee. Someone comes up to you and says, I'm really sorry. I've run into your car in the car park. I've just nudged it a bit. We'll fix it up later. Can I get you a coffee? Yeah, sure, okay. So they bring you a coffee, and as they hand it to you, the pop tops off and they spill it on your shirt. So sorry about that. And then you remember, they said to me 2 months ago they were going to give me a birthday present and they never actually gave it to me. Anyway, so then church starts, get into singing. Your mind keeps jumping back to coffee on my shirt, car scratched, this person, they said they were going to do this thing they didn't do. So anyways, after church, you go out and inspect the car and you realize it's way worse than what they said. So you follow them up on Messenger after church, exchanging insurance details, and they leave your message read but not responded to. Okay. And then when you see them next week, they say, I'm really sorry, I had a really busy week and I haven't submitted any insurance stuff yet, but I will get to it. Oh, little example, but seven situations where hypothetically we have to forgive. It's making me cringe even thinking about that story. How would you feel if that was you? And I mean, none of those things are really bad in themselves. Like, they're not that terrible, but, you know, they get on your nerves. They can stay in your mind for a while. If not dealt with, if not properly dealt with, if forgiveness isn't free-flowing. Did you notice in our text the apostles' response to Jesus' instruction? If someone comes to you and sins seven times, forgive seven times. What's the next thing they said? Increase our faith. When you read this in the text, there's a big heading in between these two sections that says, increase our faith. But if you read it continually, the impression that you get is he's talking. I used to always read this and think, oh, it's about faith. But what if it's more about forgiveness? What he's doing here is exactly what he did in Matthew 5 earlier, where he takes what the current thought on a situation is and ramps it up to what the Christ-like response is. So you would know, so like in Matthew 5:22, if you're angry with your brother, you're liable to judgment. Sorry, I missed the important bit. Right before that, he talks about how, you know, he links murder in with that. And then whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable. So he says it's not just if you murder someone or commit harm. The Christ-like way is you don't even call them a fool. The Christ-like way is you don't even be angry with your brother. And you would be familiar with the other one where he says, you've heard it said you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, even if you look at a woman lustfully, then you have committed it. So he's doing the same thing with his disciples here. He's saying, you think that forgiveness is just like this, but no, it's like this. And he also said in that section there, Matthew 5:25-26, come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and then you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you've paid the last penny. In other words, eventually, there's a sense in which we're all on our way to a court where we stand before him. And it's in these days now that he wants us to sort things out with our brothers. In other words, how many times should we forgive? Seven? Seven times seven? 70 times seven? Always. However many times. So the apostle said, increase our faith. How are we going to do that? How are we going to forgive so much? Brain explosion. How? We need more faith. And in verse 6, he says, if you had faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this, my scripture says, my text here says mulberry tree, but it's sycamore. It's sycamore fig. It's the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus was in. And what's interesting about that tree, its roots go deep. It grows with not much water, and its fruit is completely unpalatable. Insidious was one description I read. And when people do eat it, they just take a little nibble at a time, but it's not edible. Have you tried this thing that Jesus is talking about? Have you tried commanding a plant to move from here to here? Maybe start off with grass. Start off with a patch of grass from there to there. He said it's possible. So like I said, I'm familiar with this text in regards to working that miracle of faith, of the big thing that seems impossible, like tell a tree, you can be planted in the ocean. But he's pointing at this tree, but I wonder if there's another meaning going on here where he says this tree, the tree of bitter fruit, this tree, the tree of deep roots, this tree that doesn't need much water to grow huge, this tree that's also pollinated by the stings of wasps. What a tree! This tree that can grow huge if left alone. This tree that can grow on the inside of us. A bitter tree of unforgiveness if not dealt with. What if he's meaning that too? It's not just about casting the real tree into the ocean. It's saying, because the disciples, they're saying, increase our faith. How do we forgive? Well, it's possible, but with him. A bit of faith in him, and we can deal with whatever we find in our lives and in our hearts. I remember another time where the disciples were astonished when the Lord talked about how difficult it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And what did he say? He said, with man it's impossible, but with God it's possible. We can't do this on our own efforts, but we need him. And it's possible to be our aim to show and to flow in forgiveness in every part of our life. So the bitter tree that with a bitter faith can be moved, we can deal with in our own lives if it springs up. I was in the backyard recently, and somehow, maybe I'm not out there enough, it's like this tree sprung up overnight. It's a very evil tree. It's like spaghetti. It's like a thick trunk and then thousands of spaghetti branches, like as thick as your thumb, going everywhere. Like not as high as the roof, but pretty high and then wide. And it's not in my yard. It's in my neighbor's yard. And somehow it's the stump's about this wide. And so the tree comes to about my shoulders. But at the shoulder height, it's leaning on the fence. So everything that would normally be out the top of the tree is into my backyard. And so when I first discovered, I was like, man, I got to deal with this thing. Cut the branches, try them with a hedger. Hedger just jams up. So I resorted to doing a bit of hand stuff. Maybe I should get a chainsaw, not sure. Have to talk to Phil. Like all these skinny sticks and stuff. So then I'm like, I'm going straight to the head of that thing. I'm going to have to chop it off. So climb through all this stuff, just sawing off the big thick bits that connected to these skinny bits. And the whole while I'm like, what is wrong with my neighbor? What kind of man plants a plant like this and then lets it go like this and then the whole tree's in my yard? If you want a tree, have it in your yard. And how come you have not noticed this yet and dealt with it? I've got to deal with all these sticks. I've got garden tidy bags, and every few weeks I'm like, yeah, I got to go deal with that sticks again. I fill it with sticks, and I am not even a fifth of the way through all these sticks that are there. It's driving me mad. And then every time in the backyard, you kind of look over and you think, my neighbor. Next time I see him. Anyways, I saw him the other day and had the kids trampoline something, and I heard him pottering. He loves all this soft rainforest plants, and he's got the sprinkler going all the time. And go out there and say, oh, mate, what's the go with this tree? You know, did you plant this? This? I didn't plant it. We need to deal with it. He said, I think a flying fox planted it or a bird or something. I was like, oh, yeah, well, we do need to deal with it. He says, I've got a chainsaw. I'm going away, but I'll come back and I'll help. We'll get together. I'm like, I'll be there. I hate this tree. So, but that whole time in my head, every time I saw that tree or had to deal with those sticks, I'm thinking, my neighbor, what is wrong with him? Who plants a plant like that and then just sends it into their neighbor's yard? And if I hadn't have talked to him, if I had a chainsaw, would have jumped the fence, chopped it down, got rid of it, maybe never spoke to him, but I still may have had that thought in my heart, what is wrong with that guy? But how wrong I was. How wrong I was. And how did I come up with that? To be honest, just uncontrolled thought to do with the tree. But that can be like a bitter tree that grows, like the tree Jesus spoke to, if left on its own, and it can defile other parts of my life. And all of a sudden, like our text talks about a man who comes to you and says, I'm sorry. Sometimes it might be easier forgiving someone who comes to you, but what about someone who does something and they don't even know? He didn't even know he did anything. He was a silly bat. And yet in my mind, I'm like, that guy, that neighbor. Forgive. I feel like one of the main things the Lord wants to touch on today in regards to forgiveness is that kind of forgiveness. It's the indirect offenses. It's the things where the person does not even know that they've done anything, and they may not have done anything, but to us, we feel like they've done some things, but we could very well be wrong. And sometimes it can just be all in here, and perhaps we may be holding on to something and nibbling on that little bitter fruit from the sycamore fig, holding on to an offense, holding on to something, when instead the Lord is saying to us, you need to forgive. Faith in me, you need to let it go. We've talked about those that come to you and repent. We've talked about those that may have not even realized they've done anything wrong. And I want to say that there may be some of us that have had things done to us, you know, with intention that have harmed us and have hurt us. And what does the Lord say in regards to forgiveness for that? And it's the same. He wants us to be free-flowing in forgiveness. A text to help us, Romans 12:19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. There are some things that we have to just hand over to him to deal with. It's not up to us, because the temptation is we think that by holding on to something sometimes, we can make them pay. But really, unfortunately, the only person who pays is the person who hangs on to it. Because as we'll look at later, the Lord expects and wants and has given us the power to forgive everyone. I feel like I can hear some buts. But what about this? But surely I have a little solicitor in my head too that sometimes says, starts putting my defense forward. But what? Might I say that if you find yourself in a but situation right now, might be one on the tip of your tongue, but would you consider getting off your BUT? I say that because I know that if I say the actual thing, my son will be saying it all day. And replacing it with his. Ephesians 2. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, thanks, Kent, echoing communion, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us up with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is the really important bit. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. When we focus on us and our position, or how we've been wronged, or we justify our positions, the more bitter we become, the harder it is to forgive. But we're actually forgetting what we have received freely, which is the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We have to remember where we came from. And when it is hard to forgive, we've got to go back to him. We've got to go have a good look at Jesus and how he's dealt with us. That it's not in ourselves. We are no one great. It's what he has done. We've received a gift. Colossians 3, 12 to 14, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Another two texts. Luke 6, 37, 38. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Take note of this bit. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. One more, Ephesians 4, 30 and 32. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Worship team, would you come back, please? Well, what do we need to do with all of that? What the Lord has given us, how the Lord has treated us, how he continues to treat us. Goes against everything that is in the culture that we live. And there could be any number of situations today in this room, any number of things that the Lord wants you to let go of and to forgive. If you find yourself bitter, if you find your prayers not being answered, if you find yourself cold towards your church family, if you find yourself justifying any sin because of an offense, that's possible. Sometimes someone might walk in sin because they say, well, that person did that. And in your own mind, it seems acceptable. But in the mind of the Holy Spirit, it's something that you need to go to Him and surrender to Him. Whatever your situation might be today, I invite you to look at Jesus afresh. Remember what He has done for you. Sometimes it might be just one person that you have a struggle with. Everyone else, aren't I doing good, Lord? As long as we struggle in our hearts or in our minds, we have to keep going back to Him to see more of Him. What did Jesus say to the woman who was washing His feet with her tears? He who has forgiven much loves much. And love covers a multitude of sins. So if we find ourselves cold in love, we need to see more of Jesus. We need to see more of His heart. Because when we're aware of how He has dealt with us, when it's fresh in our mind, we can't be unmerciful with someone else. Because we know what He has done. Look to Jesus. Remember when that woman was dragged out from the act of adultery? Lord, the law says we can stone her. And what does He say? He who is without sin, cast the first stone. Some of you today may have to drop some stones. Just let it go. He desires mercy from us. It feels good to enjoy His mercy that's new every morning. But the way it's meant to work is we receive mercy afresh every morning. We give mercy afresh every morning too. It flows through us. If you find yourself struggling or unable to forgive, you got to go to the Lord. Come to Him now. When you go home tonight, go to Him afresh. Open the Scriptures. Start to look at Him. Start to remind yourself of how merciful He's been to you. He knows what it's like to be wronged. He knows what it's like to be wounded for our transgressions and sins. He knows what it's like to receive something that's unjust. And He knows it better than anyone else. You're not going to find any solution anywhere else. You got to go to Him and offer that same mercy and forgiveness to those that have wronged you. Some people today may have to forgive God. Some people today may have to let go and forgive others that they don't even know they've done anything. Some of us have to forgive those when they come to us. And some of you might even have to forgive yourself for something you keep beating yourself up about, and you feel like before God, if you harden yourself, then He'll be easy on you, but you're wrong. He's already taken it. He's already been wounded for you. Forgive yourself. We're going to pray and then we'll sing and then we'll pronounce the benediction. If you want to look into any of this anymore, I suggest Have a look at Romans 12, especially verses 9 to 20. Have a look at Matthew 18. Read the parable of the unmerciful servant. Let's bring our hearts to the Lord now. Lord, I thank you and I ask that you would increase our sense, our awareness. You would open our eyes to see your awesome mercy towards us. To always walk in fresh forgiveness, that forgiveness would flow through us. That we would not let that bitter tree or any bitter root grow up within us. But faith in you, we can cast that tree into the ocean far away. I thank you that even if any of us feel like it's too hard to forgive, it is in our own right, but it's not with you. Anything is possible for him who believes. And faith in you, we can change. Our mind can be renewed. Would you take a moment now, if there's something on your heart, bring it to the Lord. Confess your sin. Express forgiveness for some situation. It might be something that you're like, why has that even come into my mind? I didn't even know I was affected by that. Forgive. And as you go through your week, may you be quick to see areas where we need to offer fresh mercy and forgiveness for people. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we have hope in you, that you help us to do these things. We can live in your example and bear fruit for your name. Would you help us all? Grant us grace today in the Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Lord, if there's any need in this room right now, in the body, I ask that you would heal it. If that's you, just express your faith in your heart to the Lord. Turn your eyes towards him. In your heart, go, Lord, I thank you. Express that you tell him, Lord, you've heard my prayer. You know my need. Reach out from your heart. Lord, I thank you for healing power, touching people. Touch me, touch us all, heal us all. In Jesus' name.